What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to Guilds and Goblins, the What If World show, where your questions and our live, in-the-moment dice rolls help us tell off-the-cuff adventures. I'm Papaloo, your host and guild master, joined as always by my son, Zach.
Zach's the name, and the character I play is Scribno the Doodle Knight, a noble scribble person who can draw and erase parts of himself to get different special powers. And here's my friend, Scully.
Yeah, I'm Scully the Squid, all right. But my character's name is Penny Pasta. And they are a pastapus and an Italian chef. Even though they can turn into a giant pasta monster, they prefer to bring people together through cooking. That's my character voice. And beside me at the gaming table is my friend Lola Rabbit.
Yeah, I'm Lola Rabbit, and I'm ready to roll some dice with you all today. As I play my character, Amara Stormtide, an ocean dragon with storm magic, who's also a trained detective. She doesn't miss much, unless she rolls really low.
Yeah, it happens.
Speaking of rolling, do you all have your dice at the ready? Folks at home, if you're in a place where it would be safe to roll dice,
Like not the car,
you can grab a set of dice too. When we get to one of those momentous occasions where we roll to determine the fates of our characters, you can roll any die that you have.
If it's one of those cubed-shaped dice with six sides, that's called a D6. If you roll a 4, 5, or 6 on that, you can imagine what good or helpful thing might happen.
And if you roll a 1, 2, or 3 on any six-sided dice, things don't quite go your way. Or maybe something unlucky happens.
We like rolling with a D20, because then something extra special happens on a natural 20, or extra wacky happens on a natural 1.
But you can roll any dice you have, or even flip a coin, or even just sit back and listen as we get back into our adventure.
Do we have some new what-if questions today?
We've got two, in fact, but they're kinda surprises. One you'll most likely discover in the middle of the story, and the other, well, we'll see. You might just have to hear it at the end.
No, the suspense!
Indeed, Scully. And let's build up that suspense a little more by giving the kids a quick recap.
If you've listened to the last 7 episodes of the Cryptid Kids storyline,
or even just the most recent one,
you know that the million-hand-headed Hydra is pinching away the observatorium, which is where I go to school.
Me too.
Not me, I'm homeschooled. Stinks to be you, though.
But if it finishes pinching away the observatorium, it might start pulling apart the entire world, one what-if at a time.
Oh, yeah. We should probably prevent that. And if you're thinking it's awfully strange that these kids are playing characters that are trying to save the world that they actually live on, well, that's just what happened with the what-if questions. We love your kooky questions.
And we're playing safely far away from the Million Hand Hydra on our rocket ship house.
Nothing our characters have done has been able to slow down the Hydra at all.
Until the giant robot Abbybot came back full of tea and started spraying it everywhere.
It was then we learned that the Million Hand-headed Hydra was allergic to tea. Thanks again to Annabelle for that question.
So now we have to decide whether we use the tea to defeat the creature,
or try to solve its riddle to help it find what it's looking for,
so it'll stop pinching away What If World in its search.
It all comes down to this, kiddos. It's your last chance to save your school, and perhaps the very world we live on. You should learn Gam's question as we progress through the story. And by the end, I bet you'll discover Heath's, too. We're gonna get into our adventure right after a quick break. Cryptid Kids. The Million Hand-Headed Hydra is temporarily distracted by the smartphone Fred gave to it.
You're welcome!
Penny Pasta, you cleverly tried talking to the Handra using ASL, Aquatic Sign Language.
Ooh, Handra, that's good.
While Penny signs to the Handra, a few fingers pull away from the smartphone it's holding, signing back with a cryptic response. Scully, would you dramatically read the riddle once more as our final challenge begins?
Coins, pipes, and the mushrooms, holes between the worlds, by castle and by sewer zooms, by magic portals hurled.
As a trained detective, I have no clue what that means.
I would like to draw some wings on myself and flutter up to see what it is doing on that phone.
Roll there to see if you can get close enough.
14 plus 4.
With an 18, you manage to hover over one of its hand shoulders and peek at the phone. It appears to be installing games, opening them, playing them very briefly, then deleting them before downloading a new one, and over and over and over again.
Frederick, I hope this phone has a good data plan.
I have no idea. I just stole it from Mr. Eric.
Fred?
Sometimes you just gotta stop reading the news, Daddy.
Okay, that's fair.
I fly down and relay this news to my fellow adventurers. Show they're playing video games.
And what are they signing? It's like a description of a video game world.
There's gotta be one button on the magic elevator. It's like a video game world.
And even as you say that, a little what if sparkles towards you like stardust come alive. And you hear this question from Gam.
Hello, my name's Gam, and I'm 7 years old, and my question is, what if one of the buttons in the elevator led to Mario World? And I'm 7.
That's how to get out of this mesh without having to melt the creature with tea.
We must simply drive it toward the magic elevator and into this non-copyright infringing Mario-like world.
But is that really what's the best for it? Or is it just stressed out and wants to play video games?
It's not playing video games when it's the actual world around you, says JF Cat.
More like Livio Games. Sounds almost as good as a stick,
says Fred the Dog. Now I need one of you kids to roll a d20 as a pure luck check to see how much data's left on Mr. Eric's phone.
No, not my data.
Quiet, Mr. Eric, I'm hosting this episode.
But it's just overages.
I'll roll.
Go for it, Zach.
6.
Both the data and the battery run out at the same time, and the million hand-headed Hydra starts pinching about erratically. Another piece of the observatorium falls away. Stones and debris tumble towards you. Roll dare or use your powers to stay safe.
I use a lightning bolt to blast anything that gets too close. And I rolled a 17.
A boulder splits in half before hitting a Mara Stormtide. Penny Pasta, what do you do?
I stretch up on my tippy-toe tentacles to try to let the rolling things roll under me. And I rolled a 7.
Well, good thing you got some rest because you take another hurt.
Ouch!
Scribno, it's your turn.
I will quickly draw armor upon my person to help deflect anything that gets too close. And I roll an extra d4 for dare. 6 plus 4?
Just enough to avoid injury. As plink,
plonk, dink, donk,
rubble somehow bounces off your two-dimensional armor.
Okay, I'm a little dog who can't actually take 3 hurt because I don't have G&G stats right now, so I'm gonna get out of here.
We don't blame you.
And thanks for nothing.
Many time.
Are they making the fadeaway noises again without actually going anywhere?
Indeed.
All right, I'm on it for crying out loud. Gotta do everything around here.
Unsprite all right, teleports Fred the dog and JF Cat away.
Oh, now it's just me and the giant robot.
Abbybot will protect you with tea.
Okay, no thanks really, but...
A new notice. Now that the Hydra isn't distracted by the smartphone, it seems to be more wary of the tea sprayed by the robot, finally moving away from the observatorium, leaving one last lonely tower stretching up into the sky.
It's kind of a nice look for that building.
Or is it a symbol for how our educational institutions are coming under attack?
Huh?
Let's just get the Hydra to the elevators.
Amara, you must fly ahead. Remember that some of the elevator buttons are still unknown to us. You must do your best to find the right portal, as you are the fastest among us.
I mean, you could draw yourself some cheetah legs, but okay. And Amara flies back to the observatorium, which is where the elevator originated.
The hand Hydra is marching toward Abbybot, pinching hands at the ready, trying to defend itself from the tea.
Do not hurt it, Abbybot. Merely try to guide it back toward the observatorium.
Scribno, roll wonder to see how well received your leadership and direction are.
That is but a 6.
I'm trying to get the robot to do what you say, but it's not a very good listener.
Abbybot's listening is exceptional. Only its comprehension is flawed.
You can still choose to help guide the Hydra back toward the tower, but there will be consequences.
Yes, we must do it.
Abbybot's tea spraying is just a little too enthusiastic, spooking the Hydra as it crashes into the tower, which is now leaning at a precarious angle. Penny Pasta, what do you do?
I'll use my grow ability to become so big that the Hydra can ignore me, and then I speak to it in aquatic sign language. Hydra, please stop. We each need a search for who we are, and that means we need to leave something here for the next person to search, and the person after that.
The frightened, confused Hydra turns toward you. Roll wonder.
A 2 plus a 4.
The Hydra pushes you aside, and you take one hurt. But you notice a few of its hands are still turning toward you, watching with their middle and index fingers, like curious little eye stalks. Amara, you're back at the elevator, but the tower is crumbling. How will you search for the right button on the elevator while also keeping yourself safe?
I'll try to create a storm bubble of air around me to deflect anything that might hurt me. And I'm gonna look at all the pictographs on this elevator, searching for coins, pipes, mushrooms, holes, castles, sewers, or anything that looks kinda 8-bit or retro.
Then I'll let you make this as an easy learn roll, considering your detective ability.
That's 9 plus 1.
You find one button on the elevator, with a picture like a kind of wrench. You feel confident in your answer, but the damage to the tower has cracked and crushed half of the other magic elevator buttons.
We've got to get a move on over here.
I wish to redraw myself so that I look like a question mark, like a sparkly what-if question, and then zoom towards the elevator, trying to get the Hydra to follow.
I'll let you roll dare on that daring action.
Oh, 3 plus 1.
Yet again, you can pull this off, but there will be consequences.
I must. I haven't a choice.
The Hydra lunges towards you, thinking you're perhaps the what-if it's been looking for. And you suffer 2 hurt as it swarms in after you, tunneling toward the elevator.
I am stunned. This is serious.
Penny Pasta.
I'll keep assigning with 2 of my pastapus arms, while the rest work to make some classic spaghetti and meatballs. And I say, cooking is something that brings me joy. You deserve the same chance to find that something. We each deserve it. It is what we owe each other. But first, you just gotta let go. Stop pinching so hard. And you see all of these people around you, ready to connect, to help.
Quite the speech. I'm gonna let you make an easy wonder roll.
One of those was a natural one.
And the other.
A 14 plus 3 equals
17.
Many of the hands turn towards you during your monologue. And for a moment, they do stop pinching, stop pulling. Some hands even start steadying the observatorium, while others even replace some fallen bricks. Amara, it's your turn.
I don't think this Hydra can understand me, but I'm gonna try to share something beautiful. My dog bone, my Italian cooking, the ocean. I use my storm magic to draw in a gentle ocean breeze as I push the elevator button leading to the video game world. And on that breeze, I put all the things I love about the ocean. The salty scent of the air, the rhythm of the waves, the song of the birds and sea creatures. And I say, hey, this is my thing, but it might not be yours. Maybe your thing is right through here. And if it ain't, we promise to come help you find your next thing. Cause we're the cryptid kids. Helping monsters is what we do.
Oh, and I'll sign all of this to translate. With Penny's translation, Amara, I'll let you roll wonder and take the best of two die 20 rolls.
Oh, 3. In a 19. Oh!
Following this current of ocean air, the million hand-headed Hydra zips into the elevator, flying into the world of Retronia, where any blocks it pinches away simply reappear a few moments later, and it seems to quickly, happily settle into a task of building bricks and blocks and tunnels one atop the other. Plant life growing out of some, strange blocky creatures crawling out of others, and all moving harmoniously around the Hydra in a stilted, blocky, joyful 8-bit dance.
Huzzah!
We did it!
Yes!
The elevator door closes behind it before the elevator itself gets crushed by one final pile of debris.
Abbeybot is sorry. I was trying to get back into the observatorium.
I kept telling him he was too big.
Oh, were these those consequences you mentioned earlier?
Guildmasters get to be stinkers, too.
What?
This last final tower of the observatorium is already leaning precariously. Now you've got to figure out how to get yourselves out safely. And if it's possible to keep this last leaning tower of the observatorium from crumbling.
Can I make my body into a pillar to help hold it upright?
Well, you could try, Scribno. But remember, you are stunned, so all your rolls will be hard.
This is a place of learning. We must save it. I shall take the chance.
Roll dare. But you gotta roll 2 die 20 and take the lower result.
A 16 was the highest.
And?
A 14 was the lowest. Plus 1 for dare, that's 15.
Describe what you do.
Leaning on my magic pencil for support, I step to where a load-bearing column has cracked. Then, with an effort, I draw myself taller and taller until I am holding up the ceiling itself.
Amara and Penny, this has bought you some time, but you can still hear cracking and crumbling. If you don't stabilize this tower soon, you could all get stuck in the rubble.
Well, I have been working on my spaghetti and meatballs, and they say my plant-based meatballs are the stickiest there has ever been. So I'm gonna go around cramming it into every little crack in the crevice and stretching out my giant octobody to support the tower wherever it's cracking.
That's gonna be a dare roll.
But before you roll that, I'm gonna help. using my wind to squish in the bits of spaghetti and plant balls, and then little bursts of crackling lightning to help dry it quickly.
That sounds very helpful. So, Penny, you can roll 2d20.
A 7 and a 15.
Wind and lightning, squishy pasta and meatballs, cram into every crevice as the still giant Penny Pasta and the column-shaped Scribno hold up the failing tower, which slowly, gradually, starts to settle, bent and battered, but never beaten.
Public school power!
We did it!
But any school that loves and cares for every child equally is a school worth saving!
Why are they trailing off as if the story is over?
Yeah, they're just standing right in front of us. It's weird.
The end.
We should probably go.
That was quite the fun adventure. But we didn't get to all three of those what-if questions, did we?
Oh, well, you kinda sorta did. The last one's more of a surprise for next time.
Oh, can we hear it now, though?
Wouldn't be fair to Heath otherwise. Let's play it.
Hi, my name is Heath. I really like Fred the Dog and Mr. Eric. And my what-if question is, what if the 100 ham-headed hider was Kathunkle? Because he's pinching away Abacus's observatorium and Abacus's power, and like Kathunkle always like wants more power because of Grandma Ulm's words, what if enough is never enough, and he has a habit of taking over what if world. Bye, love your show.
Are you saying
that your uncle got trapped in another dimension again?
Only this time he's transformed.
That's why he spoke aquatic sign language.
It also explains why he didn't help take down that supervillain.
I don't know if taking down supervillains has ever been his thing, but sure.
Fun adventure, kids. Nice work. Mr. Eric, can you please take over?
Absolutely, Papa Lou. Folks at home, have you ever found yourself stuck on an activity that doesn't really bring you joy? How can you set some healthy boundaries for yourself to take a break from those distractions and find that something that really brings you joy? I just like to ask myself that question sometimes. Is this just stimulating, or is it really joyful? I'll even ask that question out loud and talk about it with my family. Maybe you can too.
And while you're at it, maybe you can talk about how the Cryptid Kids are going to rescue Kathunkle, or who's gonna run What If World while he's gone.
Finally, I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Miss Lynn, my producer, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that the very act of seeking joy makes you better at finding it. And until we adventure again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICAN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICAN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.